Today, Pastor Ray Bentley helps us observe a conversation between Jesus and two disciples who didn't recognize him.
This guy is opening the word to us. It all makes sense. Now we see exactly what happened to Jesus is what all the prophets told us would happen. And right when their hearts are getting warm and filled with hope and coming together, then Jesus says, "Well, fellas, here's the bend in the road. You're headed that way. I'm going down this way."
Spread the news.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. We've all seen videos of soldiers returning home and surprising their unsuspecting family members. Today, we'll see a story of Jesus appearing after his resurrection to two downhearted disciples who didn't recognize him. We'll see the two were comforted and taught and soon discovered who their companion was.
Okay, let's open our Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. And Lord willing, we are going to finish the story of the Gospel of Luke. We left off in verse 12. So we'll pick up on the story of the road to Emmaus. So beginning in verse 13, here is one of the most famous, beautiful, short stories in the Bible. This is after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. The women have come to the tomb early. They've run back and said, "He is alive. He's risen. We've seen angels." There's mass confusion. And there are two disciples that after the crucifixion have just said, "We can't handle it. You know, we thought Jesus was the one." And so they're literally, their backs are turned to Jerusalem and they are walking away, defeated, discouraged, depressed. And I wonder if there is anyone here tonight who has ever been, or maybe even currently, you are a believer, you are a disciple, you have heard the testimonies of what Christ has done for you, but you are walking in a direction that is leading you to a greater and greater sorrow. And this is a beautiful, beautiful story of the love and the ministry and the compassion of Jesus Christ. It says in verse 13, "Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened." So they're talking the whole week since Palm Sunday and the Passover, two Passover, and then Christ being crucified, and then these crazy ladies saying that he is alive, but they don't really believe it yet. "So it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. And he said to them, 'What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad?' And then one of those whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him," and note the name that is given here, Cleopas. This is a guy that we're going to want to meet and talk to when we get to heaven. So Cleopas doesn't recognize Jesus, and he's saying, "Hey, what's going on, guys? Why are you so glum? Why are you so sad?" Cleopas answered, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" Jesus is kind of playing along. "No, I don't have a clue what's going on, but it's him. It's all about him." So they said to him, "The things concerning Jesus, Yeshua of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel." Notice it's past tense. "Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they didn't find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it, just as the woman said, but they did not see. And then he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart, to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Let's take a few moments with this. I want you to note here that the direction that they are walking, this road is leaving Jerusalem. Again, they're discouraged. They are depressed. They're asking themselves, this man that we had believed in, that he was more than a man, that he was a prophet, that he was the Son of God, and that he had died, and had Jesus failed to bring the kingdom, they thought the kingdom would come through him. Now note that Jesus walks the road of Emmaus, or the Emmaus road, with us. When we are walking away from the very events of the life of Jesus Christ, when, as it were, our backs, even as believers, but we've lost faith and we've turned around and we're walking in another direction, Jesus walks up to us, but we don't recognize him. When we're not walking with him and abiding in him and walking in fellowship with him, Jesus can be right there having a conversation with you and you don't even know it. So, I want you to note, if you're taking notes, Emmaus is west as they're walking. So it means that they're walking toward the sun that is setting. The sun is going down. The light is growing more and more dim. And it may be one of the reasons that Jesus came just at the right time when it got dark enough that they could see his silhouette but not really see or recognize him, because he wanted to have a conversation with them and he wanted to reveal himself to them. I want to ask you, which way are you headed tonight? Answer in your own mind. Are you walking toward Jerusalem? Are you walking toward the events of the reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Does the story of Christ burn within you as a living thing, or is it something that you believed in and thought it would deliver more in your life, and you still can't let go of it, but you're actually walking in the opposite direction, away from him? The truth of the matter is, the believer is one who walks not toward the sunset, but if you are walking in fellowship with Jesus Christ, you are actually walking toward sunrise. And the Lord himself wants to reveal himself to you. So Jesus knows how to make sense of things. Here's the beauty of Jesus. Verses 25 and 26. When we are lost and when we are confused, Jesus knows how to make sense of what's going on. In verse 25, Jesus said to them, Oh, foolish ones. Don't you love how Jesus, he just says it the way it is. When you're being, you know, we have this strange idea that being a Christian is just being nice to people and never making people feel bad. But the reality is sometimes life and truth is a little confrontational. And when you're being foolish, then Jesus says, you're being a fool. You are absolutely being foolish. How many would agree that since Jesus, who has actually just risen from the dead and is walking with them, that it's pretty foolish to be saying, wow, we really put our faith in him, but nothing happened? Would you agree that's pretty foolish? Especially when he's right there, standing right next to you. All of their hopes and dreams were shattered. They were devastated. If I might say it, their faith had died. There will, if you, you know what, being a human being affords the opportunity for all of us at one time or another in our lives to have our faith kind of die. As spiritual as you want to be, as hard as you want to be, loyal and faithful, there will come circumstances that are beyond your experience or capacity. You know, the human soul is quite elastic, like a rubber band, but a rubber band does have a breaking point at which it just snaps. It breaks. That can happen to the mind, it can happen to a heart, it can happen to a soul. What do you do when you snap, when you break? You've been holding it together. And it's partly because you understand and receive the grace of the Lord, but there's another part where you're holding on to your life so tightly. But you don't realize that the Lord doesn't need any help. He can hold the whole universe together. Tiny little you is not a big problem for him. But it's difficult when we're both grabbing for the steering wheel to control the car and our lives. You know, you can't really totally surrender to the Lord sometimes until you have been broken. And sometimes brokenness comes through great sorrow, great difficulty, great pain, and suffering, quite honestly. And so Jesus said to them, "Oh, foolish ones, you know, don't be afraid when life or circumstances or a brother or a sister or, in fact, the Lord himself tells you you have been living and acting foolishly. It's okay. It's the truth. We've all done that. And slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Messiah to have," and notice the first thing Jesus said, "suffered these things and to enter into his glory." You're walking away today, you lost your faith because the Messiah suffered. Isn't that exactly what the prophet said would happen to the Messiah? You're walking away from your relationship with the Lord because there is suffering in this life. And this is one of the things that bothers me when I go visit places like Africa, and then I know that much of what they hear and see on the Christian television promotes all of the, you can be happy and healthy and wealthy, and, you know, it's all the good stuff. You know, the positive parts of the gospel. But because it's more popular, people want to hear that. It's hard to sell books, CDs, and other stuff about suffering and self-denial and the cross, and it's not as popular. And therefore, sometimes ministers cater to what people want to hear because it has such a measure of success, but far better to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God. And the truth is that, yes, there's blessings. Yes, the Lord loves us. He wants to spoil us and even to prosper us. And he wants to touch us and heal us. But we live in a fallen, broken world. And part, and if I may say, the preparation for that glory is actually the suffering. There's no power of the resurrection until there's first a crucifixion. We can't enter into the life marrow of Christ until first we have died to ourselves, picked up our cross, and followed after him. Amen? Suffering is part of the deal. As it was for the Messiah, he's our rabbi. He says, "You are my disciples," and guess what a disciple is supposed to be when he grows up? Just like his mentor, his rabbi. He came in humanity to show us exactly what it would be like to walk with God and to be a friend with God. There will come suffering. There will come brokenness.
Pastor Ray Bentley will have more of today's study in just a moment.
We've received so many comments from listeners on what Pastor Ray's teaching and the ministry of Maranatha Radio has meant to them.
Thank you, Pastor Ray, for your wonderful teaching. I still listen to you and appreciate the fact that your messages are still available. I'll pray for your family, especially your son, Pastor Daniel, for wisdom as he continues in ministry.
It's so encouraging to hear how Pastor Ray's teachings, and now that of Pastor Daniel, are continuing to touch lives. If you have a message to share, you can email us, ray@raybentley.com, or post a comment on our homepage at www.raybentley.com.
And now more of today's message from Pastor Ray Bentley.
So Jesus came and talked with them, and the meaning of life suddenly became clear. The darkness became light. Jesus told them the whole story. And he began to share with them, it says in verse 27, that, "And the beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." Oh, how I wish we had that Bible study. Now that's a Bible study. Beginning with Moses and the prophets. Where did Jesus take them? We don't know. We can only use our imagination. Maybe he said, hey guys, you've heard of Abraham, the friend of God. Have you gone to chapter 22 when God asked him, the father asked him to sacrifice his only begotten son, Isaac? That's what just happened to the Messiah. That's what just happened in Jerusalem. Have you read Isaiah chapter 53 about the Messiah? You read all the chapters Isaiah talked about, the glory of the Messiah, but did you read the chapters that talk about the suffering servant who was also appointed by the Lord to suffer, not for his own sins, but for others, as a lamb led to the slaughter, and that he would go and give and offer his life? And so I wonder, as Jesus must have made his way through the prophets and through the law and all the types, everything in the Old Testament pointed to Jesus and to the life of Jesus. I mean, they had everything they needed. They, out of their own mouths, of their unbelief, told Jesus, well, yeah, we had witnesses who actually saw the empty tomb, and we heard, and the angels showed up, and they announced that Jesus was alive. They had all the evidence, they had all the witnesses, all the proof, and yet they're telling Jesus that they don't believe. So I want you to look with me in verse 28. Here's an interesting thing that happens. After this Bible study that Jesus gave to them, where everything happened to Jesus the week before was the climax and culmination of all the prophets. It says in verse 28, though, just when they're being drawn in, then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone further. Oh, I'm going on down the road. But they constrained him, saying, no, abide with us, for it's already toward evening. The day is far spent. And he went in with them. I love this. Jesus gives them a Bible study where they're feeding on every word. They're realizing, wow, this guy is opening the word to us. It all makes sense. Now we see exactly what happened to Jesus is what all the prophets and then Moses told us would happen. And right when their hearts are getting warm and filled with hope and it's coming together, then Jesus says, well, fellas, here's the bend in the road. You're headed that way. I'm going down this way. And they say, no, you can't. You cannot leave us now. They're in a deep conversation where illumination and revelation is coming to them. Now, I want to ask you the question, why didn't Jesus bring the clothes? Why did he kind of, you know, he teases them, he brings them so far, and then he says, okay, got to go. I want to encourage you that sometimes Jesus tests us and gives us an invitation to go deeper. Are you ready? Because I'll give to you, you know, enough to answer your questions, but then he'll pass on if you let him. Or if you say, no, now that I hear you, now that I see you, now that I've got you, I'm not letting you go. I want more. I want to go deeper. So let me ask you a question tonight. Because this, do you want to go deeper with Jesus Christ? Are you satisfied with whatever it is that you know or understand? We have barely scratched the surface. There is so much more to know. It bothers me when I hear people say, oh, I've read the Bible, as if, you know, once is enough, or they've learned everything they can. Are you kidding me? Are you serious? Are you out of your mind? I've been reading and studying the Bible for years. And the more that I learn, the more I realize how many layers there are, how much depth there is, and how I dabble up in the top few layers of understanding. I mean, you will never plumb the depths of the Word of God. Ephesians says that for eternity, the Lord will be revealing to us the riches and the depth of the love, the height and the depth and the width and the breadth of the love that he showed for us through Jesus Christ on the cross. In other words, forever and ever, it will take forever, and we'll never get to the end of understanding the love of God that was manifest in that one act when Jesus left heaven and became a man and humbled himself and became obedient and died as a criminal for Nothing. He was not the center. We were. You can't read the Bible too many times. You can never say, well, I've heard that or I know that. In fact, if you ever get to a place where it's, you know, getting dry and you think, oh, I've heard it all before, you are in a scary place, dangerous place. Say, God, let something happen that will shock me. Put the paddles to my spiritual chest and, you know, electrify me. Wake me up. God forbid that I should become deaf, dumb, and blind, and numb, and non-feeling. That's what the enemy wants. The enemy wants you to not feel anything. Many people are afraid to go deeper with God because it'll hurt too much, it'll feel too much. Well, that, guess what? You're made in the image and the likeness of God, and God feels infinitely. And yes, it's going to hurt. Yes, it's going to rip your heart out sometimes. It's going to stretch your mind. But that's how you know you're alive. Amen? That's how God uses even pain and suffering. Do you want to go deeper with Jesus tonight? And I exhort you, don't be afraid to just say, yes, Lord. Even though there's part of you that will flinch and say, I don't know, what's it going to cost me? Well, let me tell you what it's going to cost you. Everything. You're going to die. But that's okay. It's the old you that's going to die. And it's worth it. Just by faith, trust me. Trust what Paul, the apostle, said. Trust what John is saying. And even Jesus. He'll leave you where you are. Or you can say, no, I want to go deeper. Plead with him. Beg with him. Lord, lead me deeper. And let him know that you really mean it. And he will. Now, verse 30. I love this part. In verse 30, it says, now it came to pass as he sat at the table with them. So they talk him into it. I love that. You have to talk Jesus. No, I want to have more prayer, more conversation. So finally, they talk him into it. Now, what does that tell you? That if you persuade Jesus passionately with your prayers, he can be influenced by you to stay longer, to experience him more. And it came to pass as he sat at the table with them, I mentioned here in your notes, here's the original eat, pray, and love. Jesus gave many Bible studies and many revelations and teachings while people were having meals. How many of you think that's really cool? Having a deep conversation about spiritual things doesn't always have to happen in a church. It can happen at home over the dinner table and a meal. That you eat and you pray and you love. Now it came to pass as he sat at the table with them that he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. And then their eyes were opened and they knew him and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? And so they rose up at that very hour and returned to Jerusalem. Now they're heading east. And they found the 11 and those who were with him gathered together, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread.
Pastor Ray Bentley with insight today from the final chapter of Luke. And he'll have one more installment from our Luke series next time. Join us here on Maranatha Radio. Today's study is titled, He is Alive. If you missed any part of the presentation, you can hear a replay on iTunes or at raybentley.com. That's raybentley.com. We hope you'll stop by our site today. When you're there, you can leave a few words in tribute to Pastor Ray's life and ministry. And under Media, you'll notice three words, Watch, Radio, and Devo. Three ways to enjoy Pastor Ray's insights. Plus, click About and find out more about Pastor Ray and find out how you can come into a deeper relationship with the Lord. And at the bottom of the page, you can sign up to receive Pastor Ray's daily devotions via email, free of charge. And then, after 30 years on the radio and the passing of Pastor Ray Bentley in early 2022, we're approaching the end of the Maranatha Radio program. We'd like to thank you, our dedicated listeners, who've joined us through the years as we've journeyed with Pastor Ray through the Bible. We'll be continuing the broadcast just through tomorrow, but we're excited to share that going forward, we'll have a dedicated online location to access all of Pastor Ray's content, including video, audio sermons, books, and more. Please visit raybentley.com to follow along with us. But we hope you'll join us for our final day tomorrow. Well, Pastor Ray will bring us a final study in the book of Luke. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.